Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
And thank you for joining us today, and welcome. This is an hour dedicated to understanding a little more about ourselves, our beliefs, and how we approach enlightenment. Indeed, an hour devoted to learning something more, not just about the world of shoes and ships and sealing wax, but about how, what, and why we think as we do. An hour for the open-minded, willing to challenge some of those old ideas behind what we think we know, who we are, and who we might become. I'm Eldon Taylor, and this is Provocative Enlightenment. All right, our chat room is open, and my partner Ravinder awaits you there now. You can log on by going to Eldon Taylor, that's ELDONTAYLOR.com/chat. So, Rav, say hello to everyone, and let us know what's happening in the chat room today.
Well, hi, everyone. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We most certainly did. And right now, the chat in the chat room is about Thanksgiving, too, and stuff like that. Come join us. We always have lots of fun, and we have some great conversation. You're missing out if you're not there. That's eldontaylor.com/chat.
All right. Now, before we go any further, I have a point of business. On November 29th, now that's this Thursday, from 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 9 Eastern, I will be presenting a special live online event right here at Hay House. We will discuss self-hypnosis and subliminal technology. Not just discuss it, but teach you how to use those tools to do it yourself. And everyone who attends will receive a copy of my book by the same title. This is a practical workshop where you will go away with the knowledge, the tools, the resources to induce a self-hypnotic state and or to create your own subliminal programs. Additionally, I will introduce you to one of my favorite tools, something I refer to as hyperempyria, a state of expanded awareness, as a special bonus to all who join us. I can tell you, Ravinder, this is Ravinder's very favorite technique. You will all love it. If you already have the book, come to the seminar and give your extra copy away as a Christmas gift. Now, there's a gift that will keep on giving. There are lots of additional tools that we will review and practice. You can register for the course right here at Hay House. This is an online event, so again, you can enjoy the event and take away the tools from the comfort of your home. You can do it in your pajamas, you know. Who was it was telling you that they did radio interviews in their pajamas?
There's a few of them that do, yeah.
I never could get myself to do that. I mean,
no,
I have to get up,
right.
get dressed. So there's still time to join us, and I ask you, you know, please do register today. All right, moving on. Every week I read some of your letters as our way of paying respect to the very important role you play in making this show successful. Last week our show featured Dr. Alex Lloyd, and we discussed the healing codes. Kimberly wrote, "Amazing show. I thoroughly enjoyed the prospect of another healing form. My sis-in-law has MS, and I am going to gift Dr. Lloyd's book to her. I am also interested in healing pets and children, so this will fit right in with my Reiki practice. Thank you." Chantil wrote, "Loving this show. Thank you. And even more, I'm practically in Nashville, so very grateful to be listening." Our guest last week was in Nashville at the time. We even discussed some of the great country music and some of that country music that's like the perfect country song Hank Williams sang about, where the dog has to get run over by the train. Silliness. Okay. Mava wrote, "Love the show, Dr. E. I've already signed up at the site and will read my results tonight before I head to bed. Thank you for yet another wonderful show." Rita wrote, "Thank you for your show on the healing codes. That was an answer to my prayers." Mark wrote, "Eldon, thanks for the good show today with Dr. Alex Lloyd on the healing codes. I like his idea that the source of our issues in life are contained in our cellular memory as energy." Hope wrote, "Love your books and CDs." Robert wrote, "Love to listen to you and all I can find on the internet with your content. Your voice is just perfect for one to truly absorb your stories. Your site has so much to offer, and I still am a member of Coast to Coast, so I can go back in history there and find even more of your entertaining stories. Great job." Well, thank you, Robert. That's nice. E.M. wrote, "No other author or speaker in psychology or psychiatry, even though I have learned much, still, the link that they connected to spirituality and the mind is weak. But Eldon is a different universe altogether, and I am so glad, understatement, that he embarked on the path to ask and to live into the answers for all of us who are more than just interested. Now, I'm truly humbled by those words, E.M. Thank you very much. Michelle wrote, I just finished reading Mind Programming. Thank you. Amazing and a very helpful work. Now, this next letter is a little long, but Ravinder really wants me to share it, so here goes. Connie wrote, during this week when we all in the United States are celebrating Thanksgiving, I wanted to take a moment to thank you for all you do. At the beginning of this year, I was fortunate enough to be home to listen to your radio show, live. I called in and spoke with you and your lovely partner, Ravinder. At the time, I was unemployed and drinking a little too much wine in the evenings. I think I was also a little depressed. You and Ravinder were so incredibly kind and non-judgmental, and you generously sent me several of your Inner Talk CDs. They were truly a life-changer for me, and not only me, my entire family. I started by listening to the Freedom from Alcohol CD and then moved on to others. Interestingly, my children were fascinated with the concept and wanted to listen to them too. They especially love strategic planning and peak performance. Please pass along my thanks to Ravinder for suggesting that one. We went on to purchase several more CDs as well as a couple of multi-packs. Fast forward to today. I am gainfully employed, drink alcohol rarely, if ever, and am more enthusiastic about life than I have been in a long time. My children are doing well in school, and I have a positive outlook on life. We all turn on our favorite InterTalk CDs each night as we go to sleep, and we feel they are such a benefit on our lives as well as being very relaxing to listen to. I love all of your books, your radio show, and, of course, your InterTalk programs, and I just want to say a great big thank you to you for all you have done for me. You know, I get goosebumps still when I read that letter. I mean, it's definitely one of those wow letters. And, you know, it's one of those warm, fuzzy gifts to you and I that we so cherish.
That's exactly why we do what we do, to make, you know, make that kind of difference. And that is really cool. It speaks to the power of the mind and what can happen when you take control of your thoughts. You know, you have the warm fuzzies. And yes, everyone out there, strategic planning and peak performance is one of my favorite Inner Talk programs. It definitely helps you get stuff done.
Well, and it's a big thank you, too, to Hay House Radio, because, you know, everything that Hay House does by way of their radio network is, you know, costs you nothing. You can tune in and you get some pretty good insight and encouragement and inspiration, and it's all just as a service to the public. So we're proud to participate in that. Now, Connie, I can only say thank you from the bottom of our hearts from both of us. All right, that's all the time we're going to take for letters today, but I do invite you to opine by sending your email to eldon@eldontaylor.com. or by joining me on Facebook. We can't get all of your letters on the air, but they do impact our programming. And once again, I both appreciate and thank you for your feedback and continued support. Now to today's show. One of my favorite subjects, probably my favorite subjects, my lifetime's worth of research, engineering belief, becoming the genie in your own life. Yeah, I just want you for a moment to sit back and listen carefully, process this information, and answer a couple of questions that I'll ask you to yourself. Imagine what you might do to develop the ability if you learned that, in fact, faith the size of a mustard seed could move mountains. Just assume for a moment that somehow you discovered this old statement to be based on your belief. Your belief in yourself. What would you do to cultivate that power? I have spent the greater part of my life studying the mind and consciousness. My investigations have spread the gamut from the evidence for life after death to the action of mind at a distance to why criminal behavior is motivated to do the things that we see done. I have developed tools that have assisted people in believing in their own miraculous healing powers and seen many terminal illnesses simply disappear. I have reported on multiple personality patients who in one personality have blue eyes. Snap your fingers, personality changes, and so does their eye color. What has happened here is simply a shift in belief. Think of it this way. In one personality, it's Jane, and Jane is a stick in the mud. But in the new personality, it's Judy, and Judy loves to party and have fun. That change in memory alone of who we are is capable of changing eye color, blood sugar levels, even removing tumors from the body just as rapidly as the personality changes. I've written of many nuances to our mechanistic nature, including those psychological characteristics that make us particularly vulnerable to the plumbers of the unconscious. I have lectured and shown how the nucleus accumbens makes roughly 90% of all of our decisions. Now understand, this decision-making machine is a part of our unconscious. So what I am saying is that 90% of our choices are made by our unconscious mind. Indeed, using fMRI technology, a technician can watch the brain in action as it makes decisions. And what's more, the very same technician will know what you will decide as much as 10 seconds in advance of you consciously making that decision. Does that disturb you? Now, since the unconscious has all of these mechanisms like our compliance principles, our biases, our context-bound definitions, our defense strategies, and so forth, plus it makes almost all of our decisions, then are we just products of good old nature nurture, programmed by the mediaocracy that is our environment, and here thereby not much more than sophisticated automatons performing on cue? Forgive me, but I like to ask at this point in a lecture, what was your last original thought? I mean, truly original thought. Usually I get the same answer from audiences around the world. Silence. Dr. Andrew Hodges, forensic psychiatrist of some renown, tells the story of Jason Padgett. Following a head injury in 2002, Jason Padgett became a mathematical prodigy, a genius. He suddenly became an acquired savant as a result of a blow to the head that led to certain areas in the brain that process mathematical formulae overcompensating. Hodges explains how this excited many mathematicians and physicists because Padgett could see every curve, every line, every minute detail of Pythagorean theorem. And as a result, he is the only one today that can draw fractals freehand. Others must use the computer. Hodges continues, quote, "One scientist called him superhuman. But really, Padgett is an accidental genius who has tapped into the genius of the human mind." Close quote. Today, the mind has much more to it than typically defined in the past by so-called, reference to our conscious, our preconscious, our subconscious, our unconscious, even the capital U unconscious, and perhaps even what Jung called the collective unconscious. Indeed, we have a thinking unconscious that Malcolm Gladwell identified in his book Blink as, quote, "the dazzling new unconscious," close quote. And we have what forensic profilers now refer to as the, quote, "superintelligence," close quote. Now, the superintelligent is that part of the mind brain that must tell the truth, and therefore is an outcrop, I suppose, of what Freud thought of as the superego. Understanding this perhaps gives rise to insight as to why we do better in our health, in our attitude, when we don't lie. This is what ultimately is behind much of the projection mechanisms in the well-known Freudian slips. Now, the dazzling new unconscious is that aspect that is closest to what we generally think of as intuition, but also much more than that. For instance, Gladwell offers as one of his many examples the story of the fire chief, who joins his men on the floor of a fire, immediately recognizing something he cannot articulate. But nevertheless, he somehow knows there is an urgent danger and orders everyone off the floor immediately. Seconds later, the entire floor collapses in the fire. Most have been lulled into thinking about their lives, their minds, the real power within them, as shallow and limited in ways that simply are false to facts. Still, even those, many of those at least, that have come to understand that the limitations may be largely self-imposed, do nothing more than parrot those words. So, what if you learned of the true power of your belief and discovered that it was invested incorrectly? Instead of believing in yourself, you believed in the swell of mis and disinformation that abounds everywhere, including sometimes in our sciences. What if you also learned that you could repattern that subconscious programming, actually changing the information in the subconscious so that it was more consistent with your genuine desires? Even perhaps reaching to the genius and becoming the genie yourself from within. In the computer sciences, there's an old term known as GIGO, meaning simply garbage in, garbage out. The way to end self-destructive patterns, to overcome doubt and fear, to maintain health and optimism, and so much more, rests in the subconscious programming. I have seen the power of hypnosis and subliminal communication modify those unconscious beliefs, and the results are nothing short of astounding. So the question is simple. If you could really take control, find that mustard seed within, even if it required a search, would you? Would you take the effort? Or are you too busy? Are there too many other things in your life that drag you away, that take your attention? Too many things to buy, too much TV to watch. Would you take the time? Joining me now for this conversation is my lovely bride, and we have had many of these conversations. She's been my lovely bride for more than 20 years, and I'm just delighted that she has spent the many, many hours with me discussing these kinds of issues and trying to hone them out and in our own way find that mustard seed. So, dearest, let's put some frosting on the cake, symbolically, of course. What is inner talk and how does it fit into the scenario of our own work?
Inner talk is your baby, and it's my favorite adopted child, too. Inner talk is a patented technology. It's the only such technology that has been researched by numerous independent universities and institutions and been demonstrated effective at priming how you speak to yourself. If you think about it, we all talk to ourselves pretty much constantly. On a good day, you know, the words going through our minds are things like, isn't it gorgeous? The sun feels good, and on and on. And on a bad day, your self-talk is saying, I can't stand this, I can't wait till I get home, I'm bored, I hate this person, I'm fed up, I can't do anything. You know, that's what goes on when you're having a bad day, or words to that effect. inner talk works by priming that self-talk. It replaces that negative talk with positive talk. It works from the inside out. So, you know, you're not going to argue back with it. You know, that's the whole advantage of inner talk over simply affirmations. But because it works from the inside out, it simply replaces that negative talk with the positive talk. And if you think about it, you know, it's really hard to be depressed when your self-talk is saying, life is fun. I enjoy this. This is cool.
Do you really think that a path, maybe the path, in to finding this mustard seed, we'll just put that in quotation marks, this genie within, maybe the savant, you know, it's a new idea, acquired savantry, you know, that it really is as simple as beginning to believe in yourself, to beginning to, do you really think that's the starting point?
Yeah, I do. I think it's absolutely vital. You can't do anything without being aware of your own mind and the programming that goes in and taking charge of it and changing it and, yeah, making it positive, having it serve you instead of, you know, be a self-destructive mechanism that makes everything fall apart.
Now, isn't that really just common sense? I mean, you don't need to be a brain surgeon or a rocket scientist to realize that. You know, I mean, I remember as a child in kindergarten, I mean, many years ago, the train that can, you know, the little train that can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, that climbed the hill. I mean, I think we all realize that if we're going through our life saying, well, I'm not smart enough for that. I never did very well in school. That's just not, you know, something that I can do. If we're all going through dimmed to what might be our true potential, denying it, how is it possible that we would ever actualize it?
That's true. But I think it's important to realize the degree of it. It's very easy for us to put that stuff back as you know, that's just childish stuff. You know, the little train that could, you know, it's easy to think, yeah, we teach that to kids, but how much does that really apply in the real world? You know, it's easy for us to do that. So, you know, yeah, we are all taught that, but the vast majority of people no longer believe it.
But then
the difference with the Hay House audience. You know, we're all very aware that we have to pay attention, and it does have a great deal, and it has a great deal more power than we think that it does.
And we really have all these real life examples. We don't have to go to children. I mean, I remember in my lifetime, the so-called insurmountable 4-minute mile could not run a mile in less than 4 minutes, period. End of quotation. The scientists all said so. The physiologists said so. Medical doctors could tell you why you couldn't. I mean, it could even kill you to move that fast. The Greeks supposedly had chased runners with wild animals to get them to run that fast. It had never been done. And yet one man comes along and says, I can do it, Roger Bannister. And he does break the 4-minute mile. Now, that's an amazing feat in and of itself. But the most amazing aspect of that story, within 3 years of Bannister breaking that so-called unbreakable barrier, all kinds of runners were breaking the 4-minute mile. So the barrier is like a self-imposed limitation, you know, like the invisible shield over the fleas being trained for the circus, that glass dome that as they slam into it, you know, they learn, well, never jump that high, and they don't try again. It affects all of us, not just individual. You know, when we come back from the break, I want you to be the interviewer for a change.
Interrogator, please. Well,
that's what you said. So I'm going to let you come after me, all right? And whatever you want. We'll discuss this more. We'll talk about how you can awaken, enliven the real power within. The website is www.innertalk.com. If you're not already in our chat room, this is an excellent time to join in the conversation. We have a short video for you today. Just go to eldentaylor.com/chat. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up after these words from some of our friends.
Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
And welcome back. If you just joined us, we're discussing engineering belief, becoming the genie in your own life. But before we get back to the show, I want to invite you to join me on Facebook. I post regularly everything from where I am and what's on next to the latest in science, technology, and consciousness studies, and from time to time, some of my own opinions about the world we live in. I also want to remind you once again, there is still time to register right here at Hay House for the special online event on the 29th. That's this Thursday, day after tomorrow. Come join me when I will be presenting self-hypnosis and subliminal technology as two tools that you can go away with and use immediately to empower your every ambition, physical and metaphysical. Now, by tools, I mean just that. You know, you're going to be able to go away with what you learn and create your own programs, do your own self-hypnosis. These are two tools that have been immensely important to me in my lifetime, and I can tell you that from the bottom of my heart. I cannot think of two better tools for you to have in your armamentarium when it comes to awakening your own genie within. All right, let's get back to the show. Before the break, I suggested that you could be the inquisitor. I think you said interrogator. I used the word interviewer. But, you know, we've got questions that have been put forth from the chat room. We have callers that are calling in. So I suggest we do some of all. Let's take a few calls. Let's answer the chat room questions. I will let you begin. We'll pick up with a few of your questions, and we'll go to the phones. We'll give some CDs away today, all right? I kind of like that letter.
I like that. All right. I like being Mama Christmas.
Mama Christmas. All right, Mama Christmas, you want to roll out a question. What have you got?
First of all, I'm going to ask you the tough question. You know, subliminal and hypnosis, they're both pretty controversial, and there's loads of articles out there on the internet that say that subliminals don't work. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, interestingly, if you dig into these articles, what you discover is they're basically, you know, two agendas here. The first agenda is there are no laws, contrary to popular opinion, that protect the public from being presented with subliminal stimuli for the purpose of selling you anything, everything. So, as you know, with the now infamous Rats ad, when during the Bush-Gore campaign, when Bush's people ran a subliminal ad with the word rats as the subliminal message above Al Gore's head. And they ran it heavily in his own state, Tennessee, which he lost, in states like Florida. And the Democratic National Committee went after it because it was discovered. They were unable to do anything about it. Because the bottom line is the only protection that exists, other than Judge Whitehead's decision in the Reno court that I testified in, that it was a violation of our First Amendment, right? But with that, there's no, you know, it's a violation. So what? What's the penalty? There are no penalties, you see. So the only other is the FCC codification that says a station cannot knowingly do that without jeopardizing its broadcast license. So all that happens is the station says, we didn't know it was in there. And that's the end of the whole matter. Well, with that background, understand this. When laws have been attempted to be passed that would protect the public from being exposed to subliminal information, the veritable who's who of the advertising world comes out. And they testify that it's not needed, they don't use it, and don't worry anyway because it doesn't work. Now, you know better than that. You and I, we have done this part of the battle for many years. And in my book, Mind Programming, I actually expose, here's an advertising training manual showing you how to do it. Here are ads. Here's a Kent cigarette ad. It appeared throughout the world. And this is how it was airbrushed and what they put in it and why they put in it. Here's a liquor advertisement and so on and so forth. So there isn't any question about whether or not they use it. Therefore, the advantage that is to be gained by them arguing that it is ineffective is that as long as the public is lulled into believing that, then, of course, there isn't any momentum behind gaining legislation that would protect us from it. The second agenda that has to do, and by the way, I can tell you this from personal experience, the Judas Priest case, the so-called pundits of subliminal doesn't work, the hoax, the fraud that come out of the woodwork when big money like CBS lays out, you know, are there any studies in this? It's unbelievable. But when it's all said and done, you know what most of those folks were saying about what we do? Yeah, but Eldon, what you do is not really subliminal. So we became kind of the unsubliminal subliminal because we do this dichotic masking. All right, the second agenda is this. There are actually folks that, and I'm not going to say they don't have pure hearts. They just maybe don't know what they're doing. We have, for example, been asked to, in instances, step up to the defense of people. The psychologist Lee Poulos from Canada, when a complaint was filed by the APA, asked us to step up to his defense. We provided all kinds of research, studies, arguments, etc. And when the ethics committee reviewed it, it was 5-0 in favor of Poulos and subliminal. But we've also been asked in instances where I've looked at an engineer's sheet on how they created the program. And the engineer has said in an affidavit that they mixed the messages 40-50 dB beneath the primary carrier. Well, the theoretical limitation to a stereo, to a your ghetto blaster, is usually around 30 dB. 40 and 50 is pressing the upper limit of better equipment. When you bury something like that, you may as well take the violinist out of the symphony hall and put them down the blocks, you know, down the street a block away. The stimulus is not significantly strong enough to cause a neuron to fire. If the neuron doesn't fire, nothing happens. So as I know, when I first began involved in this field, there are a lot of programs that I just shipped off to audio forensic laboratories. Tell me how they did it. And Anthony called me on the phone and said, did what? There isn't anything on them. There's, you know. So that's the second side of the story. When there are programs in the marketplace that have nothing on them in the sense that it's recoverable, you can detect it, et cetera, and you run a study on them, well, what do you expect is going to be the results? You know, one of the reasons we ran all the double-blind studies that we did on our own product was to make certain that it worked. And of course, to find whatever learning curve we could to improve it. So does that answer your question, the tough one?
Yeah, you know, it does.
Okay.
And there is also the classical argument, too. I mean, how do you get people not to pay attention to something? Is by turning it into a joke.
That's true. No, that's true. A good belly laugh is worth 1,000 syllogisms, and that's an argument we see used every day by all kinds of folks, but let's not go there.
I like that one. I like that one, too. Let me see. Why is subliminal information more powerful than simple affirmations?
Well, you basically answered that one. You know that. I mean, the problem with an affirmation is that I say to myself, you know, well, let's take the one that I like. You know, I don't know how many thousands of people I've actually asked this question in different seminars of, but, you know, when I say, how many of you in the audience would like to make $1 million this year? I'm sure that by a show of hands, the majority of you would raise your hand. You'd like to have $1 million this year. You know, maybe you'd give it away to charity. I don't know what you'd do with it, but you'd like to have that $1 million. So then when I say to you, all right, I want you to say to yourself slowly and meaningfully, this year I'm going to make $1 million. Now, you know, really mean it. Recognizing, of course, that you're going to have to do something different. You may have to go to risk. Maybe you have to quit your job to do. I mean, we're not talking about winning a lottery. We're talking about earning $1 million, making $1 million. Say to yourself, this year I'm going to make $1 million. And see how long it takes before you get some back talk, such as, sure, what are you going to do, rob a bank? You know, the fact of the matter is, when I say to myself, I am good, I may get, yeah, maybe, but what about? Do you remember? However, when that information comes from the inside out, when it's been primed as you covered initially, it's entered my stream of consciousness, and now I am saying to myself, yeah, I am good. You know, I am capable. I am powerful. I can do this. You know, I believe in myself. When that happens from the inside out, I act in reliance on it. It's kind of, you know, I mean, we have two mechanisms here. One is the outright rejection, and the other is the inferred rejection. You know, it's, it reminds me of a secretary I had once. And, you know, if I were to say, gee, you look nice today, she invariably say, what, didn't I look good yesterday? You know? So
never. I never think such thoughts.
So it's when we allow ourselves to believe in ourselves that these things become capable, become possible, truly possible. And one of the best ways I know to do that is to prime that stream of consciousness so that it reflects from within what my outer desire is.
Yeah, and all things become possible when you just change that stream of consciousness. Let's turn to hypnosis, because hypnosis is...
Quickly, because we want to get some phone calls. Go.
Okay, I'll try not to talk too fast. Hypnosis is just fun anyway. And a common idea about hypnosis is that only the weak-minded can be hypnotized. And once they're under hypnosis, they can be made to do almost anything. Is that true?
No, it's categorically... with a slight equivocation, false. Now, and the reason for the slight equivocation is, look, our intelligence people have worked with these tools. And when you combine hypnosis and subliminal and drugs and you do it over time and you change environments, it is possible to reframe the context of an individual in such a way that they begin to make entirely different choices and behave differently, and which is why the CIA testified before Congress that they could cause a person to do veritably anything given enough time. Now, but that's an entirely different context. Okay, we're talking months, even years of very sophisticated psychological training that's a form of brainwashing. The normal instance, you know, the stage hypnotist that hypnotizes, I've done this many times for law enforcement officers, shown them that the subject that will quack like a duck doesn't need to be hypnotized to quack like a duck. They have a personality that is that personality that wants to be the center of attention, the performer, and so forth. Indeed, if you tell someone to do something under hypnosis that violates their own morality, their eyes will typically pop wide open. They're wide awake that moment,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
too. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, if that were true, you could use hypnosis for lie detection. And I have a great deal of experience there. And I guarantee you that people can lie to you in hypnosis, in the deepest states of hypnosis. And that's because their defense mechanisms are in the forefront. The conscious mind set back here. It's the defense mechanisms that you find in the unconscious in the forefront. Now, as far as intelligence, who cannot be hypnotized are typically very small children who lack the attention span necessary to participate for any period of time in a guided anything, you know. And those people that we think of having, you know, some mental incapacitation. I once had a case where one of the brightest men in our country came to me and said, I can't be hypnotized, but I have lost these documents and I have to find these documents. Is there something we can do? And because of his belief, his attitude about hypnosis, that, you know, I'm just too smart. My problem is I'm analyzing everything. I'm just very left-brained, you know, da-da-da-da-da. We didn't do hypnosis. We did indeed what I'm going to show everybody day after tomorrow, Thursday evening, hyperimperia. And, of course, in that state, he found his documents. What you're really looking at is you want to satisfy an expectation. You're just going to guide people into a natural state that when we objectify it is a brainwave state we call alpha. And we all go through it every night when we fall asleep, when we wake up in the twilight stages of REM sleep. It's a very natural state. And when we learn to go to that state lucidly, as you would in a lucid dream, it becomes a part of our armamentarium for relaxation, stress reduction, mental training, and all sorts of other things. So the answer to your question is, with my slight equivocation, absolutely not. Shall we take some phone calls?
I think we need to.
Your first question came from Celeste, in Celestial B, out of the chat room. And I'm gonna put this one to you. You can bounce it back to me if you want. But it's a very important question. Is brain hemispheric synchronization a doorway to this unlocking of ability? Is there an InterTalk program to increase these pathways?
I'll let you take the first half. I'll take the second half.
Well, I'll take both halves. The fact is there are several programs that we have created that utilize frequencies, tones and frequencies, that will bring about a balanced hemispheric activity, brainwave synchronization between right and left hemispheres. Our Platinum Plus line designed for those people who, you know, you basically achieved what you want in your life, you're happy, but you know, there are the extras, and we have several titles in that, like becoming the icon, building your personal icon, experiencing bliss, several titles in that area. They are not your typical weight loss or stop smoking programs. They're programs on this other side, because before you start doing the brainwave synchronization, you got to get some of the impediments out of the way. But that said, we also have our power imaging, our echo, and our ozone line, which deal with fundamentals and again incorporate tones and frequencies that assist in balancing hemispheric activity. You want to add to that?
We do also have the using both halves of the brain. But I tend to think, you know, the technology is such that it simply exercises both halves of the brain simultaneously anyway.
It does. It does.
Because you have the affirmations in forward and reverse, the permissive, the authoritarian. So, I mean, you're actively activating all of that anyway. So I would tend to say, you know, just choose a title that is of interest to you, and you will automatically be doing some of the hemispheric synchronization. We've actually had...
You'd be activating for certain. I wouldn't go so far as to say synchronizing when you're just... But you are activating. One of the things that we see, we've seen dyslexic children not get a dyslexia program, but get, you know, a program like learning, and their dyslexia disappears. And it isn't because this learning program is priming their belief system with, I'm a good learner and I love learning and I love school and I love reading. It's because they are being tasked simultaneously, both hemispheres, and our mirroring paradigm shows that that's what in a lot of young people can reverse that dyslexia tendency. So I concur with you, but the actual synchronization, you know, that's a little different than having both of them active. That typically takes an entrainment technology. But, hey, who am I to argue with you?
That's right. Not your place.
Okay, let's go to the phones. We have Eileen from Bronson, Missouri on the phone. Eileen has been very patient. Welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Eileen. What kind of genie do you want to awaken today?
Oh, I want to be able to walk into the fiery furnace and not get burned.
I don't blame you, you know?
Okay.
We'll do a hot coal walk. Can you come out to Washington?
See, part of the problem is there's an issue with black mold in my school, and they did a remediation in one in the room that I was in, but not in the entire line of rooms in the system.
Oh.
And the problem is they moved me out of the room, put me in another room that gave me 2 to 3 asthma attacks a day, even though I was on 5 medications. So they put in vents and filters in my old room, moved me back to my old room, and I'm ending up, that's why I'm home today. I was in too much pain, too exhausted to be able to drive to work because of the effects of it. So I'm kind of looking at, you know, there's other teachers that are getting sick, but they're not as sick because they're not in the original area and they haven't had the 14 years of exposure. So
yeah, and there can be other things too, you know.
I kept thinking, oh, maybe it's in my mind, but I went in thinking it was going to be awesome. So,
I don't think so. I mean, I think the very first thing is whether or not your immune system is compromised, and that's why you're sicker, to use your words, than other people. The very first thing you need to do is remove yourself from that environment, period, end of quotation.
Yeah. You know? Everybody keeps saying that, and that's when I get better.
That's what you have to do. Remove yourself from the environment.
I would
be remiss to say anything else to you. There are lots of things that the mind has the ability to do, and maybe one day we'll know how to walk through walls. Not as magic tricks, but in an environment such as you describe, you need to leave that environment. That said, you stay on the line when we finish this phone call, and I'll have our producer, Joe, get your details, address, mailing address, et cetera.
Okay.
We have some programs on accelerated healing and building a powerful immune system that I'm just going to gift you. We're just going to send them out to you, okay?
That would be great. That would help me a lot.
All right. And one deal now, you be sure and, remember to drop me a note. Let me know how they work for you, huh?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Eileen. Let's grab another call real quick because we haven't got much time. Let's get Bridget out of Calabasas, California. Bridget, welcome to Provocative Enlightenment. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you. I'm so grateful for the subject today because that's exactly what I'm working on right now. And I would love to know how to awaken the power within because I'm really in the finance area. I'm struggling, and I know it is my own belief, but I just don't know how to work at it. You know, I do affirmations, I'm thinking positive, and I'm in this circle, and I mean, the vicious cycle, I guess I call it, and I don't know how to get out of it. Like,
help me out a little. Do you have a job? Bridget, I say, do you have a job?
I do right now, but it's not something that I really...
All right, but you have an income, you are working, and so your goal is what?
My goal is to work and make enough money. I went through a very difficult divorce 2 years ago, and I think that's the voice in my head that I cannot make it on my own.
All right, I've got a package for you. I'm just going to send it to you. It's called Income Potential, and it is about that. I'm going to put a couple of extras in it, like strategic planning, peak performance, and money management. And Bridget, you know what you're going to do? You're going to use the technology. You're going to get successful, and you're going to call me on the phone again right here on this radio station, or you're going to send me a letter, and you're going to tell me all about it. Promise?
Promise. I promise. I can't
wait. All right, Bridget. Thanks for calling. I'm sorry. We're out of time. We've come to the end of another hour of Provocative Enlightenment, and I want to thank all of you, but especially I want to thank the wonderful team at Hay House Radio for making what we do on this show so easy. I have both experience in both kinds of radio, internet and terrestrial. The crew at Hay House is the absolute best. And so a big thank you to you. And a big thank you to all of you out there for joining us. I hope you enjoyed our show and will join us again next week. Until then, believing in yourself always matters.